and selling process. You can reach us at 772-510.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. We are going to have a great and exciting day today. In fact, we may go to places that's beyond our earth.
We might just go
to beyond the earth. Karen, good to have you back. We missed you.
Yeah, good to be back. Yeah.
Recuperating.
Yeah.
Some of that, and David is off all of his spiritual retreats and
back home.
And
in better shape.
Did you advance, or how did that go?
The Lord was gracious to me. I got more than I had thought I would get. That's always good. That's always when God's involved. You get more than you think. My mind is not the kind of mind that can fully encompass the fullness of God. I finally figured that out.
Well, that's the sooner we get that figured out, the better off we are. Because prior to that, that whole thing, thinking that that we can run things for God, that's not a good plan. That does not work well.
I've been disabused of that notion.
For sure. Well, we're so glad you're listening today. It is right now about a minute after 11 o'clock, and you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we have a guest with us this morning, and it is Kim Wojcicki. And Kim, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you with us. You are a long-time Martin County resident, aren't you?
I'm long time. I don't want to say how long, but a long time. But graduated Martin County High School in 1971.
Wow.
So my last couple weeks ago was my 52nd wedding anniversary from my
52nd
from my lovely wife. So I'm blessed.
Praise God.
That is excellent. Well, we kind of met on the phone. You called in during a prayer and share. I don't know. That's been a few prayer and shares back, hasn't it?
Yeah, but that was fun.
Well, to talk to someone that actually remembers the way things were is really, really interesting for me, because even from my background growing up in Hope Sound, it was a small place. We had one blinking light. I met... I don't remember his first name. His last name was MacArthur. He was in a restaurant one day, and this gentleman was in one of the little scooters. And we got to talking, and he told me that he was the first employee with FPL.
Oh, my goodness.
And his job, one of his duties was to, on whatever schedule, to change that light bulb in that blinking light that was out on US-1. And he said there were two sheriff's cars in the county, and one of them would come, and he would be on a 10-foot stepladder to change that light bulb. And he said that was one of his early jobs.
Wow.
And it was very, very interesting. He had a lot of interesting stories about the ice house and the delivery of ice, because people had ice boxes. And the gentleman, I don't know how old he was, probably in his late 80s, maybe 90s at the time. But that was pretty interesting. So you actually are from Martin County.
Yes. I went to first and second grade in the old elementary school on Swearing Road there.
Okay. Now, where was that?
The old schoolhouse right there.
East of US-1.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. East of US-1.
East of US-1. Probably most people don't even know that was
the school. Well, you talked about your school, elementary school. There's like 13 of you. Well, there's probably that many in my class. Of course, that was mostly Salerno area. I think there was another school in Stewart.
Sure.
So
and Hope Sound had an elementary school as well.
I don't think Hope Sound had an elementary school at that time.
Maybe not at that time.
Yeah.
There was sort of in back behind St. Ange, not St. Ange, Cone's. Cone's Grocery. Up the street there was an old school, but I'm not sure what that school was. Yeah, but
I'm
right,
not sure either.
Elementary school was built later. But right at Hope Sound Bible School, we had first and second, third and fourth grade. So it was kind of like a little cottage.
Right.
And so
right.
One half of the, they had opened this up. So one half of the cottage was first and second grade. The other was third and fourth. Between the two was our library. And there were about 13 students combined out of four grades, you know. So that, yeah, that's kind of the way that was back in the day. Well, it's great to have you with us actually in studio today to talk about some of what God's doing in your life. And you have taken up some writing.
Yeah.
You're an author now.
Well, something interested me, but I'd like to go back when the WCNO started. What got me involved in it more than anything was actually my mother-in-law, which was
wow,
Mrs. Crane. She owned Krause and Crane at the time, air conditioning and electric.
Interesting.
So
okay.
What she was one of the first ones to go to Tom and say, I want to be a sponsor. We're a Christian company. I want to be a sponsor. And that was, well, when it started,
Wow.
So they became a Christian sponsor, and my son has recently bought the business and took it over, and he has continued that sponsorship.
That is awesome.
And, you know, the kind of cool thing is, though, and I got to tell y'all something, they're still paying the lowest.
They are. They are. They are.
So
yeah.
They're grandfathered in.
They
you
are.
Ought, you ought to figure out some way to de-grandfather them. You don't pay more, you know? De-grandfather them. So
that is an awesome story. I believe you may have mentioned that, but I didn't tie that really together. That's tremendous, because that was back in...
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and here's the picture of your family right there on the front of the Stewart Living.
My son Timothy.
Son Timothy.
He took it over, and his lovely family, and he's doing a great job, but he wants to continue
the partnership here.
The partnership here.
That is awesome. So our full 34 years, you all have been a part of the ministry here. That is tremendous.
Krause and Crane is probably one of the oldest sponsors here. I think they're one of the first.
Probably.
My mother-in-law is just fanatical about it. She's like, we're going to support them. We're a Christian company. We're going to support them. And they're like, why do you want? Nobody's going to listen to them. She said, I don't care if anybody listens to them or not. We're supporting them. she was great. She was unbelievable.
Wow, that's really great. And I know that over the years that a lot of people have probably connected with your company, because we have people calling us and going online and looking to see the companies that support Christian radio. In fact, Karen, why don't you put a plug in for people who have businesses and just give those numbers out, because we do welcome Christian businesses
Amen.
To be a part of our ministry.
Amen.
Absolutely. And you would just need to call us at 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. We can't guarantee that grandfathered rate.
No,
things have gone up a little bit since then.
Yes, but you know, our prices are very competitive, and well, I believe you get more than, you know, you get much more than what you're giving.
You would never get for the what you pay for airtime. You would never find that anywhere else.
No,
I don't believe so.
No, never.
And we're for 100,000 watt station. You go to a commercial station that's 10,000 watts or 1,000 watts, you're going to pay five times as much, three to five times as much for airtime.
Well, and, you know, that's why we're here. God opened this station to be a local station. And, you know, what is local? Well, we're in Fort Lauderdale, and we're in Palm Beach, you know, County, and we're over around Lake Okeechobee, and we're also north up into Melbourne and St. Lucie, Indian River. We're scattered all up the coast, and occasionally we'll get comments from people who listen in the western Bahama Islands. So we know that the islands pick us up as well. And so we do have a very big family, and that is quite amazing. Now, I know when the station started, it did not have the full 100,000 watts that we have today, and it was not on 24 hours a day.
Correct. Mm.
But I think they would close, what, around maybe 10 o'clock or something at night. Yeah, you know, someone had to be in the studio. Now we have computers that kind of run things a little better for us. But, you know, just thinking about our history a bit, I'm just June this year will be 7 years for me as the manager. And Tom retired after 29 years. Yeah. So Tom is, He's retired in Georgia, and I believe he's learning how to be retired now. You're still working, so I know you're retired, but you're
I still enjoy it. I mean, I'm still young enough, and Lord has blessed my health, and I'm able to continue, and I don't want to sit home and watch Oprah all day or something like that.
So, amen to that.
You know, I'd rather be working.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that that is a burden, I think, to a lot of our families is just the spiritual vitality of our children. We want to see our faith passed to our children, amen, to our grandchildren, and I know there's hardly a prayer gathering that we have that some of the brothers aren't mentioning their children, their grandchildren, and some have greats, you know, and just being concerned about that. But thinking back in the late 50s, we moved in 59, so our family to Hope Sound. And I'm a native. I was born in Fort Myers, Florida. And our family, we literally lived in the swamp. We were in the swamp. We had an area high enough to mostly have rattlesnakes instead of water moccasins.
Oh, but, yeah, that's good. You were in the palmettos.
We were in the palmettos. And, you know, the water moccasins were in the ditches, though, so they were everywhere. But Corkscrew Swamp, I don't know how many of our listeners have ever heard of Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary, but it is a great, great day trip to go over. A little cooler during the winter months than the summer, but you might catch the storks over there or gators or water moccasins. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, like a one-mile-plus walk out through the swamp. It's great. But that's where we live. That's where we grew up and moved here. But for young people, I remember that we could just ride motorcycles on the beach.
Yeah.
We could fish anywhere, you know. What did you all do as kids?
Oh, my goodness. Jonathan, you know, the kids today talk about, I had grandkids, and they say, I'm bored. And I'm, boy, I just, don't tell me that. I'm bored. And I'm saying, I was never bored as a kid. We had the woods. I mean, we were out in the woods. We'd be out on the ocean. I mean, we'd be out at the beach. I mean, we had so much to do. I didn't even know what a mall was. We didn't know what malls were.
No, there were no malls.
And it was an unbelievable place to grow up. I mean, Cope Road and Indian Street were all dirt roads, and we talked about the U.S. one was another.
It's called Snake Road.
Snake Road is where I grew up. Snake Road and Smith Road. That's a little dirt road. Still a dirt road called Smith Road. The Smiths, my family that still lives there, won't let the county pave it. They've been wanting to pave it, and they said, no, we're not paving. The cars will speed by, and I'm like, well, okay, they'll speed by. But it's still a dirt road. And, you know, you'd go quail hunting in the mornings out in the palmettos and the woods and property. We'd roam the property, and nobody ever come up and said, well, you guys are trespassing. Nobody ever.
Never.
We went all across Cove Road. You know, we used to roam around in the woods south of Cove Road all the way to Hope Sound.
Right.
And there was nothing there, and nobody ever said anything to us. You know, it was a great place. You could go quail hunting in the morning or whatever, and you go out to the beach and go fishing in the afternoon or surfing or whatever you wanted to do, and it's a great place to grow up. People don't realize how good it really was.
It was amazing, and even Jupiter Island from Hope Sound, you know, we fished the Hope Sound Bridge, and a lot of those bridges were wooden bridges back in the day.
Yeah.
And even down in Jupiter, going over to the island from Jupiter was
the old Cato Bridge.
Yep, the old bridge. Used to have a rope in the tree off. All the kids would come down and swing and swim and such forth. But, you know, those were great days. And a lot of that's been lost with the growth. But, you know, we're here and we continue that faith for our kids. And so one of the things that we're able to do is to get the word out. And Dave and Karen, you all were a part of the story of the gentleman that used to listen to the radio. He would... after work, what was his name, Martin?
Martin, oh yes, he'd be on the beach with his radio and a six-pack of beer.
Listening to WCNO.
Well, yeah, they need to listen too.
And amen. Yeah, but he met the Lord.
That's how he came to the Lord. Amen. You know, so, you know, sometimes I think people put the rest of the audience into their automobile and say, everybody's like me. But that's not the case. We have a large number of people who listen in in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is a great move of God in the prisons. Mm-hmm. And we bring different guests in. I know Dunklin Memorial Camp, you knew Mickey, I'm sure.
Mickey Evans and his kids,
Yeah, Mickey, the work that was started out there continues. A great work is in the local prisons with them, really all over the world. They spread around the world. But there are just a lot of great ministries that have sprung up, and Christian Radio is able to reach into the cars, able to reach behind the gated communities. We didn't have gated communities when I was a kid. No. I mean, Jupiter Island wasn't gated, you know?
Still isn't, actually.
I think that the soundings may have been the closest thing to a gate.
Yacht and Country Club, I think, was the first Stewart, gated community.
Right, in the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could talk about stuff like that all day.
That's important stuff, really.
And I have to say to all you fishermen that have never caught a snook, when we were kids, I didn't know a kid who wanted to fish who hadn't caught a lot of snook. They were everywhere. Snook, redfish, snapper. I mean, it was fantastic.
They were, Jonathan. It was just, you could just go anywhere and catch whatever you wanted, basically. And you know what the thing about it is? There weren't the regulations.
No.
There was no Marine Patrol you just went out. There was no amount you could catch or anything like that. So,
but we caught what we could eat.
We caught what we could eat,
Once we caught what we wanted, then, that was it, and just went home. Well, I have a book in front of me.
All right.
And it's got a target on it.
Okay.
It sort of looks like somebody's got a scope zoomed in, and it reminds me of what I'm seeing in the news. Now, I don't know. We don't have President Trump online, but we could ask him about executive orders. But I think I heard something about one of the executive orders may release all of the information that's been stockpiled and hidden away about aliens. Well, we have a lot of flying vessels around.
There's a lot of questions.
So this book that you've written is called Hunting Aliens. What in the world is a Christian man writing about aliens for? What is this about?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I started watching a couple TV shows, and they were called like Ancient Aliens and different crash sites of UFOs, and I'm reading that, and I'm saying these people are so far off, they're so out of whack, this is a God thing. It's not aliens from another planet or aliens from another universe. These are not alien craft. It's they're just so much hype today in the UFO phenomena, and people are wondering what they are, and the Bible is very specific that in the end times there are going to be things in the sky. He doesn't say what they are.
But there are going to be things in the
sky. Yeah. Well, these aren't, there's not going to be metallic machines or anything like that. So the biggest thing was to realize that, these alien believers believe the idea that we were created by them. That they seeded the planet with DNA, and all of a sudden man came out of the ooze or whatever, and I'm sitting there going, how could they believe such an unbelievable thing? I mean, it's unbelievable to think that anybody could even...
But they do.
And the problem is we did have an alien visitor, and it was Jesus.
He
was an alien visitor.
That's true.
He was an alien.
Yes.
So... we have been visited by aliens, but it's not aliens from other planets. You can go all the way through Genesis and see the way God used angels. The ones that came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He used angels and beings to accomplish his task. And to think that these were aliens from another planet or another solar system is just, to me, so unbelievable that I don't see how anybody could believe it, but they do.
They do. I want to go to page 8 in your book, and I want to make mention of three questions that you raise. And I believe that kind of lays out where you went, where you're going with this book. And I read it. I started reading it, and I thought, where is this guy coming from? What is this about? But then as I continued reading, I began to understand that God has given you I believe, a vision to reach people that have no problem in believing anything they don't understand in the sky, but they have a huge problem believing in God because they have been taught against it. But on page 8, you lay out three things. Where did we come from? Okay, well, that's an old philosophical question. It's been going around a long time, right?
Right.
Supreme Creator or some alien race from light years away? And the second question, why are we here? To acknowledge and honor God, our Creator, or search for some alien DNA? And then where are we going, to be whisked off to some unknown galaxy in the universe or eternity in God's dimension? This book will give you an honest, down-to-earth, comprehensible, and understandable answers to these three questions. And what is truth? Mm. You lay it out right there. What is truth? And so I want to dig into this a little more as we have a little bit more time here this morning. But first, I want to just give an opportunity. We have some prayer requests. Kim, hopefully you're going to be able to stick around with us for the full hour.
Sure.
Okay, good. We do have some prayer requests. We like to pull from our mail, and I don't believe we have any mail today, but we have had phone calls with some prayer requests, and we want to lift those up in prayer, and then we may go to a song, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, well, I will not be singing, by the way, just so you all know.
Well, maybe Karen will sing.
Well, maybe Karen. Maybe we can do a duet.
And I haven't asked Kim. Do you sing?
No. I play.
We could have a three-part harmony.
I play WCNO is what I play.
There you go. Well, it would be three-part something, but I don't know about the harmony. Anyway, we have three separate prayer requests we want to address. First one is from Angelina, who called in and asked us to pray for Jacob. Jacob is in a very dark time in his life right now. He's struggling. He needs a job, and that would the gift of employment would probably deliver him from that darkness. But we're going to lift up Jacob first. And Father, we just know you love him, and you have a plan for his life.
Amen.
And we're not going to presume to know why he is in darkness, but he is seeking your light. He's seeking to be delivered from this darkness. And
thank you, Father.
And we do pray, and that having a job certainly would be a big part of that. We pray, Lord, you would lead him to an employer that is looking for someone with his gifts, his talents, and with we pray would be a heart to bring those gifts and talents to that particular employer. Open the door, Lord. Lead them together. Bring them together.
Yeah.
And establish him in a good, healthy, blessed employment situation.
Amen.
And we thank you for that, Lord. Then Norma called, and it's just a very convoluted, difficult situation. A home she owns in Tampa that was damaged in one of the hurricanes was being rented by some relatives, and in the post-storm damage and dealing with insurances and damage under the house itself, which was not covered and under the insurance, and the feelings that were mangled between Norma and her relatives. She's really praying for reconciliation and also for God to move in a powerful way to bring financial restoration to her. And that's what we lift up to you today for Norma, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are more than capable of moving to meet all of these needs.
Thank you, Father.
I believe in her heart the primary need is a reconciliation with her family. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of pain, and the drama and trauma of this type of damage got in between hearts. And we pray, Lord, for a healing of hearts and minds in the family, for a full and complete restoration of relationships, and along with that, Father, forgiveness at every end,
Amen.
Where it is needed. And also, Father, for a rich outpouring of money, financial graces, to restore her to what she had before the loss. In Jesus' name we pray. And then finally, Brother Gerald, who is in the hospital in Jupiter, had a stroke. Young man, four little kids.
Oh,
nephew of one of our one of the people we know so well here, Sharon. And Lord, we just lift Gerald
Thank
up
you,
to you.
Lord,
we know already, Lord, that there's so much prayer going for him, and that you you certainly honor the prayer, and you'd already intended, Father, to bring you healing grace. We're just joining this increasing gathering of believers that know that you want to bless Gerald and his family with restoration, restoring his body. We pray from the every part of his body that's been influenced, starting with the brain and the damage that the stroke did.
You can restore.
Father, to restore. You can restore. You can restore neurons. You can bring full and complete functioning brain function back to him. You can restore any body parts that have been paralyzed by this. And above and beyond that is there are other areas of impact, Father, that the employment thing, all the finances that are being committed now to his care. We pray that your healing would also be restoring what they've had to expend, Father, for their part for this. And just overall, bring 100% restoration to Gerald, to his family. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, in just a moment, we're going to get back with Kim, and we're going to be talking a little more about hunting aliens and some of the things you address in this book. I'm going to end up asking Kim if he believes that angels have been mistakenly considered to be aliens. And so really this is so relevant, you know, there is just so much in the news about this, and I think your book is very timely. How can people get a hold of this book?
They can go to Amazon. It's available on Amazon.
Okay.
Just look up Hunting Aliens and K.W. Smith. I have the printed version and the Audible version, so readily available.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk some more about this with you, Kim, in just a moment.
I'm ready.
All right. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I often play this song during Wednesday Live because this is our desire, to see the Lord restore me.
Humble themselves.
And while we took that little break, I got a message in that Jose, if you're listening, we rejoice with you that your surgery went really well this morning and you're on your way home. And that is that's a praise God. I had a shoulder surgery this morning and we're just believing the Lord's going to give him a quick and speedy recovery, and know that that we're all keeping you lifted up in prayer. All right, Kim, back to you. Those three questions that I raised, you know, why are we here, and how are you addressing that in this book? How does this book address those questions?
You know, I address those questions basically that we're here because of God, first of all.
Absolutely.
But during this research, and I didn't really put this in my book, but when I researched as Christians, so-called Christians, if you were to ask God a question, what would it be? And their first question was, why are we here? Well, we as Christians should know why we're here.
Yeah.
We should know why we're here. We should know what we're supposed to do. We should know where we're going.
Yes.
So my book basically is one of those books, you kind of hit it on the head. There are people that will walk by the Bible and won't pay it attention.
None whatsoever.
They walk by a book with an alien and crosshairs, they may pay attention to it.
Right.
And they're going to say, wait a minute. So this book is basically to lead people to the Bible and Lord. It's not any kind of inspired book or anything else. I don't believe in that. You know, the Word is the inspired Word of God. This isn't the inspired Word of God. But, you know, it's just like the Ten Commandments lead us to. We don't use the Ten Commandments today, but the Ten Commandments lead us to the Lord.
Sure.
So this book, I made it really just to lead people to the Lord, lead them to the Bible, and get them going. But there's no question why Christians even think they should know why we're here. And the other thing I had was just common sense. You know, I got to thinking about common sense, and I liked it when our president said, I want to bring common sense back in government. We need to bring common sense back in our churches. I mean, for instance, and you guys have had some awesome, awesome guests here, and I may get a little backlash for this, but I really don't care, but how can a born-again, professedly saved person even think that murdering unborn children is okay? Common sense tells me that it's not.
Right.
You can't, and like I say, people are probably going to say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe you can abort. I'm like, how can a real Christian believe in that? They can't. It's impossible.
No, cannot.
That's where we need to bring common sense back in the church, is that kind of thing. So, you know, the alien thing is basically it's a cover up. Actually, I think I'm serious. One of my. I don't know if you read one of the chapters where I have on here about the real reason. You know, Have there been alien craft crashed? Have there been alien bodies? And there's no documentation of any of it. I mean, if that were to happen, so many people would have been in contact with it, somebody would have squealed. I mean, for the right amount of money, everybody squeals, but somebody would have squealed. So the preposterousness of it and the uncommon sense of the whole deal is just crazy, and that's why I wrote the book, was to help people understand this, that the cover-up is not based upon metallic, metallic objects that fly around in space and little men, green men from Mars. The cover-up is based spiritual. They're trying to cover up spiritually.
The reality of the supernatural.
Yes, they're trying to cover that up. And the reason they're trying to cover that up, and I spelled out in my book too, you know, our president talks about the deep state. Well, the world has a deep state, the worldwide deep state. And I love when Karen says the enemy.
Yeah.
The enemy's the ones controlling that.
Yes.
The enemy does not want the general human population to see these things as what they are, beings created by God. They want to say, well, no, there's no such thing as God.
Right.
But here's these aliens that created us, and let's give them the glory. Let's give them the credit. And it just, the idea of that is just so uncommon sense and so ridiculous that I had to address it. I couldn't stand it anymore. It's like watching these shows, and I'm like, I can't stand this anymore. I mean, it's just like the other night I watched Roswell. They're trying to bring Roswell. It's in my book, too.
Yes, Roswell. That's one of your chapters, Roswell.
But anyway, they're bringing this up, and I explained it pretty – I don't want to give out too much of my book because I want people to
– to get the book, right?
The preposterousness of it, an alien – I mean, you think about an airliner when it crashes going 400 or 500 miles an hour. Everything's obliterated.
Right.
Well, if you have a alien craft going thousands of miles an hour hit your – there wouldn't be nothing left. So how would they find bodies and –
right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. So it's basically as a cover-up, but it's trying to cover up the spiritual. This deep state doesn't want people to believe in God. They want them to believe in man. And man, you know, the enemy is our enemy. And he is one.
He is our enemy. You know, when the scripture says we wrestle not.
Yes, against principalities
against
and powers.
Against flesh and blood.
Yeah, but against principalities and powers.
So we know that there's principalities, powers, and rulers in high places. Well, if that is the demonic realm.
Yes.
Then there absolutely is an angelic realm that is holy and fully supportive of the plans, purposes, and the works of God. And so we have good and evil. We have light and dark. Yeah. We have two different teams that are out there. And so, you know, I just want to read some of these chapter titles just to let people know some of the and I really want to address the wormholes. Somehow or another, the wormholes really got I don't want to talk about that yet. But they really got my attention. But you address like the 1.6 gigahertz. Reverse technology, Roswell, 70,000 light years from home, Journey to the Center of the Earth, all different movies, different, you know, sci-fi things, even Disney, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You even get into that in here. Mm-hmm. Stairway to Heaven, ancient structures, and I found that very interesting, where you speak about some of these Stonehenge and different things that scattered around different nations, and how we can look at those as godly people and understand so much better than what the secular world does, trying to deny God. And that's the point. They're trying to deny that there is a God.
Yes.
Eye in the sky, close encounters of the fourth kind. War of the Worlds, aliens, cover up, and such forth. But you do get to the end and the life star. But wormholes, you talk about God intersecting with man in a physical, manifested way, where God, who is, we know, in a supernatural realm, comes to us in a natural realm. We know Jesus did this. Yes. He took on flesh, and so that, you know, thinking about alien. But the things that are seen, give us a little bit of what's in the, not a lot, but a little bit about how some of the things that we don't understand could be a part of the angelic forces that the Word of God talks about?
Well, the thing we need to realize, first of all, and I'm writing another book, by the way, it's fixing to come out, hopefully. A third of the angels were cast out of heaven were demonic.
Yes, one third.
So the demonic beings are just as prevalent as the good beings.
Well, they're active too.
Yes, and they're very active. Well, you know, the thing about it is, you look at the people when Jesus was taken up. He said he got on a cloud, and the cloud receives him up into heaven. Well, it doesn't show that Jesus just kept going and going and going, going through the atmosphere, through the, you know, passing Mars and Jupiter and going to heaven. He went up and he disappeared.
Yes.
So you see a lot of these alien craft that they're supposed to be. They come and they appear and they just disappear.
Right.
Because my opinion is that there is another dimension, and it's heaven. We can't see heaven. It's another dimension. So how do we see heaven? How did Jesus get up into heaven? How did Isaiah
see? Yeah.
You know, and Enoch walked with God. How did God come get Enoch just walk with
Elijah?
We can't, Elijah, we can't see heaven. So there has to be some kind of a portal that transfers us from this earthly environment to a heavenly environment. So I think that's why things appear and disappear, and I think that's how the angels are coming back and forth, and that's why we're mistaking them for UFOs, because they're going all over. And what does the Bible say about angels? They're light. So there has to be a transition from this earth, worldly things, to heavenly things. They can't mix, because this earth is corrupt. Mankind is corrupt. Heaven cannot mix with earth. So there has to be some kind of a portal, wormhole, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Scientists call them wormholes. I don't think they're wormholes. I think they're just some kind of portal God allows to open for his angels to go back and forth. You think about Job. What did God say about Satan? Satan made his way to heaven.
Yes.
And he said, hey, what about Job? So we know those, they're coming back and forth to this earth and into heaven. So how are they doing that? Well, we can't see them come because, you know, we just see glimpses of this. Because we cannot, this world cannot interconnect with heaven. So God uses these portals to bring his angels and whatever back and forth. That's my opinion.
However that works.
however
that works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Kim. Children sometimes will have a much clearer vision of supernatural things than we as adults. I think maybe just our culture and all kind of teaches us, well, there's nothing there in the night that's not there in the light. But the point is, there is supernatural reality that is here right now, and it's in the night and also in the light. God is with us, and he's manifest. And so when Jesus took on flesh, that was breaking that out of that portal, coming out of that and actually taking on flesh and blood, so we could relate to that. You really create a lot of, I believe, common sense questions to someone who has just watch TV, maybe have been caught up in the concept of maybe study. And there's a lot that's been put together. I mean, there's tons of resources that point to this, and a lot of records from pilots and this and that. And you address a lot of this. I know the Bermuda Triangle, just, you know, that was a big thing back when I was a kid. So this is an area that people have a lot of questions. Once again, we have Kim. With us, Kim, his book has K.W. Smith on it, Hunting Aliens. And how can people get a hold of this?
Amazon.
Just go to Amazon.
Look up the title and the K.W. Smith, and you'll find it.
All right. And, Kim, you're a real native.
Yes.
And, you know, people who have been here more than 5 years, I think, are now considering themselves native. But unless you've been absolutely covered with mosquitoes, you don't know what being a native's about.
And you grew up in Hope Sound. I grew up in Salerno. The stand that's mosquitoes. Oh, my goodness.
Right. No air conditioning.
No. Jealousy windows.
Yeah, jealousy windows, dirt roads. And I don't know what that product was we used to paint on the screens.
Yeah, and it just kept the wind out. It kept the gnats out.
The dust stuck to it, and you would have absolutely no air.
Yep.
And I remember in our house, Mom and Dad had the one fan in the house. We didn't have ceiling fans at that time, they had one box fan. And Dad would say, we're hot in here. We need a fan. Dad would say, well, get a fan and fan yourself. And I remember going to sleep how many nights, fanning myself to sleep, and going to sleep that way. Kids would think, today that we were abused, right?
They'd be spoiled.
Right. So back to the book. What kind of responses have you had?
Not many, because I really haven't. I'm a building contractor. I'm not a.
So you haven't been out marketing.
No,
this.
Because it's one of those things that I'm learning the process how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing.
When did you write this? When did
It's been published about 8 months ago.
Wow. So what would you say to somebody that has a message? You have something inside. You'd like to put it down, because obviously you weren't trained to be an author, but here you are. You have a message.
No, I think the message is that God is real.
Yeah.
God is our creator. God is our sustainer. God is everything to us.
Amen.
And people just don't want to believe that. And it just breaks your heart, my heart, all of us Christians' hearts, that people will believe a lie. I think my biggest point is people believe a lie, and I would like to get the truth out there.
Excellent. And I do believe this raises some questions. When I called you the other day and I said, okay, I finally read the whole book, and I had to go back and read some areas. And actually, normally when I read a book, I have all kinds of scribbling in it. I have bent pages in this one as well, and I do have scribbling in it. But with yours, this is laid out so nicely that you can go to a topic, and in two pages, three pages, you cover a topic, you bring some historical information in, but you bring the questions that the secular mind has, and you confront it with some biblical common sense.
Yes,
and you do it in a very, very good manner.
I'm just what they call the Three Stooges, simple-minded. And they said, no, I'm not simple-minded, but I'm just a simple person, and I don't go along with all this craziness that's going on. I mean, you think about another thing that kind of gets me is you have these alien UFO experts come out and say, well, we got to do something about this. They're in our airspace. They're in this. They're in that. Well, they could be this. They could be that. Well, if they were aliens, could we really do anything about it? No. There's nothing we can do. And all the alien encounters, alien craft, alien whatever, there's never been an instance of an alien craft crashing into a airplane or something, because they're spiritual. They're not, they're not
physical.
Right. They're not a physical object.
Natural thing.
Right.
Kim, when did you come to Christ?
I was talking about that the other day. We had a witnessing service at our church, First Baptist of Salerno, which one of the oldest Baptist churches in Martin County, by the way. And our pastor, William Davenport, had a, tell your story. And it was, I am redeemed. And then it was, here's my story.
Ah, that's great.
So
I love it.
Anyway, I was redeemed in 1963 in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I was at our dining room table, and the pastor and my mother were there and led me to the Lord. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, once again, one of the most underrated things in our world today is the most powerful witnesses on this earth are our mothers and our pastors. When they quit doing what they're supposed to be doing godly, then that's when society starts falling apart.
Wow, that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's when society, there's no greater witness. I was so thankful that it was my mother and my pastor there. And it was a little Baptist church. We used to have, we walked through people's yards to go to church. Back then nobody cared.
That's true. You weren't going to get shot,
and
right?
My dad was, we left here, Salerno, when I was in the second grade. So I started finished second grade at Faulkner Street Elementary School in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. And that's where I came to know the Lord. And it was just a great time. I mean, I can't even, I'm sure you would reiterate what I say, but we grew up in the best of times.
Yeah, it's a great time.
It's not to say times aren't great now. Times can be great now if we just accept. And once again, our pastor, William Willie, preached a sermon on being content. You know, how many times we're just not content? Yeah. Why can't we just be content? It's hard to be content with this traffic, isn't it? I don't want to be content with this traffic, but it's hard. You know, it's hard to be content yeah. when somebody runs out in front of you and,
right.
oh my goodness.
True.
So, but, you know, it's just, people just don't realize the joy and the happiness and the settledness of being a Christian. And who was it that said, I think Dr. Adrian Rogers said, you know, if there was, or maybe Billy Graham, one of them said, if there was no God, if there was no heaven, if there was none of this, I would still rather live the Christian life.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Because it's the way to live it. And that's absolutely. Why I can say I've been married 52 years to my high school sweetheart. Mm. And God did it, not me. Because, you know, I think sometimes she may have been an alien to stick with me for 52 years. But anyway, it's all about this whole thing. Is, and I'm 71 years old, and you said something that you said it took me all these years. Was taking me 71 years to figure some stuff out, which is a shame. Mm. And I want to help people figure stuff out before they get old like
very
me.
True.
So that was part of the reason for the book, because young people are interested in this kind of stuff. If I can get these young people and point them to the right direction, then I'd be happy.
Well, we have a new president. We need to keep him in prayer.
Yes.
And we have a lot of new leaders. We have a lot of change. Was talking with some of our guys in a prayer gathering about, as a young man, 13 years old, working at Grant Chamberlain Flower Farm. you know, every so often, the government vehicle would come in, and you know, all the illegals would scatter. You know, it was like ants leaving an ant pile, and they'd run for the woods.
Yep.
And some would be picked up, you know, and then it might be 2 months, 3 months,
they
or something
back.
Later. Yeah, and they would come back. And I was thinking of Roberto, who sort of took me under his arm. I didn't speak Spanish. They put me. Made me in charge. I'm 13 years old. They put me in charge of 13 Hispanic guys.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
We were doing layouts, setting the flats and the posts and everything for farming, right? And so he was my buddy, and he sort of took me under his arm. But he would tell me when they came would come. He'd say, "I'll be back." You know, it may take me a month, 2 months, but he said, "I'll be back." So I'll see you when I get back. If I get caught, otherwise I'll be back tomorrow. But they just scatter. And so once again, we have some of these issues. They're not new. They're not new.
No,
and back at that time, you know, there was enforcement of a sense, and yet there were people that got in, and I worked with a lot of these people. And I'll tell you, you know, I think the first rabbit I ate was rabbit that, you know, they ran it down on the farm, and they cooked it, and it was up in the windshield of the car staying hot till lunchtime. And, you know, that was Karen, she's excited.
I put it on the engine block.
Well, that's true. You could do that too. Yeah.
Karen wouldn't do that.
No, Karen would not. But that's the way it was. And a lot of these people were wonderful people, and we understand
that. They are.
But we do have laws. We are a nation of laws.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so there are many challenges to our new leaders. We need to pray for them.
Amen.
But how do you see things? You're thinking about writing another book. What's the book about? I'm sure God's putting something on your heart.
Well, he has, but I'll probably really get in trouble for this. It's called Hunting Dinosaurs.
Hunting Dinosaurs. Okay.
I'll really get in trouble for this one, though, probably.
Well, I've got a buddy that hunts for dinosaur bone every opportunity he gets. Yeah.
No, I've collected shark's teeth and hunted for those, and I loved it.
Okay.
So... it's great, but it's country. How do I see the country? I see a resurgence in biblical ideas, and I see. I was listening this morning on the radio for the Generation Z or X or whatever they are. Younger are going more conservative and leaning a little bit more receptive to the Bible and godly things, which I think is great. How do I see things? I don't know, because, you know, the Bible's specific too that in the end times things are going to be tough.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably in the end times, but has God given us a reprieve? I think to give us a second chance, third, whatever you want to call it, for us Christians to do what we're supposed to do. I don't know. All I know is today's today, and
today's the day of salvation.
Today's the day, and we may not have tomorrow.
That's true.
So that's the way I see it. Is nothing's really changed. I mean, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
So nothing's really changed. It's still the same God, the same gospel. How we present it may be different, but the gospel's never changed. It should never change.
Yeah.
And the word of God's never changed, shouldn't change. But once again, like I said, how we present it may change. How we...
The methods, the medium
may change, but that story shouldn't. And that's where I say we need to keep that story going. But...
There are some positive things. Very positive. There's a lot of positive things.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. I'm telling Karen, I haven't seen this much joy over being a Christian in a long time.
Long time. So I think hope is being...
Well, I see Christians now that they're not afraid to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible.
Isn't that great?
They were like, no, I don't want to say that because the people are blackballing me or they'll avoid me or whatever and that kind of thing. But... How much time we got?
We got a few minutes. I just wanted to throw in a comment.
Sure,
because
go ahead, Dan.
As I enjoyed your sharing, Kim, and I'm with you, brother, on this. But as I'm hearing you and you say, I may get in trouble for this. Well, a lot of the people that we get in trouble with are people that would say, when they hear what we're saying, they would say, oh, they have a narrow mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, when I was in my younger pre-saved days, I used to feel the same way. What I've learned, and we go back to the Word of God, Jesus himself encourages us to be narrow.
Yes.
And Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But the point is the narrower the because I don't want the wide way, it's too easy to make mistakes, to follow the wrong leader. But Jesus' way takes us through a much more wonderfully defined, properly narrow path that leads to truth.
Yes.
And so to those I'm sure out there thinking, well, that Kim, he's what a narrow-minded. Well, yes, he is, and I praise God for it.
Amen.
And I wish you, listener, who may be thinking that, would have a little narrower mind too.
Well, the thing you're right up, Dave, because the Bible is specific. God is narrow. Once again, the common sense in our churches and in the world. Listen, whether you're right or we're wrong, it's either good or bad.
Amen.
It's a binary. You're either lost or you're saved. Mm-hmm. You're either, you're either married or you're not. I mean, it's a binary world we live in. It's simple, and we want to make it look. The borders either open or closed. They want to complicate it. No, it's not complicated. It's either open or closed, period. So it is narrow, and I will be, if I'm going to be called narrow-minded, then I don't care. I mean, I don't care. But
I think what I want to point is that's actually a blessing to have that kind of, it's a God-given mind.
Well, thank you.
It's a God-given mind. More people need that.
I agree.
We are to have our minds renewed.
Amen.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so you could say the secular mind or the worldly mindset obviously is not going to understand the ways of God. And I was in trouble more than I should have been, a whole lot more than I should have been in my elementary years.
Yeah.
And was disciplined back in those days. A board went along with education. The board of education was a little different than it is today.
I got it a few times.
So you understand that.
Yes.
But, I had a lot of that. But I remember the president, Dr. Heron, of the school. They sent me to the president of the whole school after I went through all a few boards with the rest of them, but he would always say, Jonathan, one day you're gonna turn to God. Mm. I know one day you're gonna turn for God. God's put you on my heart. I'm praying for you. And we used to have many leaders like that, even in secular education, that was praying for kids that were the troublemakers. And he said, one day you're gonna turn to God. And I remember saying to him, there is no way that I could live the Christian life. There are too many things you've got to do and too many things you can't do, and I'm just really good at messing up. And he told me repeatedly, he said, Jonathan, the day will come when God will give you a new heart.
Amen.
And when you get a new heart,